understood about God. Now, you know, we're not able to fully understand God. He's such a divine being that the Bible says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? We don't fully understand God, but David did understand this about him. In Psalm 139, in verse 1, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Now, in the following verses, David here kind of clarified what he said there when he said that God was acquainted with all of his ways. He said, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Listen to this question. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I want to speak today. I'm going to use this for a title today. I want to speak today concerning he from whom you cannot hide. He from whom you cannot hide. And the scriptures teach us these facts. David here, basically what we have read, and David had a beautiful way with words, I think. Anybody that reads the Psalms knows that. He had a wonderful way with words. But basically, in these first 12 verses of the 139th Psalm, David said, God knows everything about me, and he always knows where I'm at. And there's not anything about me that he doesn't know, and there's not any place that I can go where I'm out of the sight of the Lord. And and certainly that was true when David wrote that psalm many, many years ago, and certainly it's true now. God hasn't changed. God still has as much knowledge of things as he has ever had. And so what David realized concerning himself is true today for every one of us. I want you to know something today, that there is nothing that can be hidden from the Lord. There are things that someone might be successful in hiding from people, and I want to try to address that, Lord willing, in this message. But there is not anything that you can hide from God. The Bible teaches us that one of the foolish things that we do as people, and we do have examples of this in the scriptures, but I believe that many of you, when I mention this, you will know this from your own past experience as well. But one of the foolish things that people seem to have a tendency to do is to try to hide from the Lord. I don't know where we ever really got the idea that we could succeed in that, but that certainly seems to be the nature of human beings, to try to hide things from God. I want you to know today, if you're here and your soul is in a lost condition, that you cannot hide your condition from the Lord. The Bible gives us examples of that and teaches us that those who are lost cannot hide that fact from God. He knows. And it also teaches us and gives us examples in the scriptures that those of us who are saved, that when we get caught up in sin, that we can't hide that from God either. He always knows about it because the Lord sees everything. In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, in verses 12 and 13, the scriptures say, "For the word of God is quick." That is, it is alive. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, the word manifest, you find several times throughout the scriptures. It's not a real common word, but you do find that word several times throughout the New Testament writings. The word manifest is a word that we really don't use a whole lot in our everyday language like people once did. But basically, to make manifest something is just to make it known, or to make it clear, or to make it visible. And the Hebrew writer said that there is no creature that is not manifest in God's sight. There's no creature that is not made known or made visible in his sight. I want to share with you two verses from the Proverbs. These things were written by the wise man Solomon concerning the great vision of the Lord, the great things that God is able to see. I was blessed so much Friday night by Sister Meredith's testimony about regaining, her vision, parts of her vision, the way that she did. Well, I want you to know something. Nobody sees like God. Nobody has the vision that the Lord has. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." The ways of the Lord are before the eyes of the Lord. I want you to know something today. And we may all have, that certain person in our life that we may say, boy, this person knows me better than anybody does. But really, that's not true. They may know you better than any person knows you, but I'm telling you, the one that really knows you is God. He knows you better than anybody knows you. And it has always been an amazing thought to me that from the cradle to the grave, that there will be somebody that will see everything that I do, that there will be someone that will see every word that I speak in my lifetime, that there will be someone that will know every thought that I think. God will know your life completely. And, you know, because of that, certainly he is going to be the righteous judge one day. When we stand before him to give account of our life, we're not going to slip anything by him. We're not going to pull anything over his eyes. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And essentially, that's what that's saying, is you're never going to pull anything, you're never going to pull the wool over God's eyes. You'll never get anything past him. We're going to all stand before him one day. The Bible tells us we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that we must give an account unto him for the things that we have done in the body, whether they are good or bad. And when we do that, when we stand before God, we're going to be standing before someone that will know everything about us, and he'll know our life completely. In the 15th proverb, in verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Now, you know, there have been songs that have been written about this. You know, there is a song that says in that song, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. Well, you know what? The writer of that song was exactly right when they wrote those words, when those lyrics were written. That songwriter was exactly right, and that's very scriptural because the Bible does tell us that the eyes of the Lord are always upon us, and that he always sees everything that we do. If you look in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 5, before God brought the flood upon the world, the Bible says God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. He saw that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. In Psalm 14, in verses 2 and 3, it tells us that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and he looked down to see if there were any that did understand and any that sought God, and he said, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy, and there is none that does good, no, not one. And so, we have these scriptures that tell us that God looks down from heaven upon us and he sees us. You know, I really believe that there are people in this world that they do hideous things. I'll tell you what, there's some bad, bad things going on in America. There are things that are being done that should have never been done. You know, there are innocent children who have had their lives taken before they were even allowed to be born, and that should have never happened. That should have never been done. And I really believe that there are people in this world that they do things and they don't think that they're going to have to answer to anybody for what they do. But I'll tell you what, they're going to find out. They're going to find out that they were wrong. They're going to stand one day and give account unto God for the things that have been done. And God knows about it. God knows all about it. God has seen it, and he knows everything. You know, you may have something in your life. I'm sure that all of us do have something in our life at some time or another. You know, maybe it was just a wicked thought that we had. Maybe it was a word that we spoke when we were when no other person was around us. Something that we should not have said. You know, And we may think, well, you know, I got by with that. But let me tell you something. There was somebody that heard it. Thank you, brother. The thought that you had that was improper, there was somebody that knew about it. That's what David said here in the 139th Psalm. He said, there's not a word on my tongue that God doesn't know about. There's not a thought that I have that God doesn't know about. We never put anything past the Lord. As I said, people have a tendency, we all human beings seem to have a tendency to try to hide things from the Lord. You know, listen, I want you to know something. If you are lost and in your sins today, it is completely unprofitable for you to try to cover that up. It's unprofitable for you to try to hide that from people. We do that. I remember, you know, being guilty of that myself when I was lost, being among the people of God and being tore up about my sinful condition and trying to hide it from people. Perhaps when someone was going to talk to me about my soul, trying to act like that I wasn't bothered, you know, or maybe even trying to avoid that person where I didn't have to have a confrontation with them. And I want you to understand how foolish that is, because if you do succeed in hiding that from somebody, you haven't accomplished anything. You know why? Because that person is not the one that you're accountable to. We're not accountable to men. We're accountable to God. If you're here today and you're lost and you try to cover that up and you try to hide that from people, you're not going to do yourself any good whatsoever, because God is going to know. You know, I've seen places in this world, probably many of you have, I've seen even from a natural standpoint, I saw places in Alaska that was, just to look at that, just looked like such a vast wilderness that I thought, you know, somebody could make a trek into that and never be seen again. They could just go and they could just get away from people and never be seen again. There are places on the earth where people could go and they could hide. But think about what David said here. He said, if I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I try to hide in the darkness, that won't work. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Sinner, I'm telling you, you can't hide. You can't hide. And we can't cover anything up. And the very best that we can do is to come clean before the Lord. You know, I really believe if you go read in, I believe it's maybe perhaps 2 Samuel 11, I believe. But if you go read the account of David, when he sinned, when he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, when he went up there and he saw that woman bathing and he was attracted to her beauty, and he had that woman brought to him and he committed adultery, he committed that awful sin, he began immediately to try to cover that up. He tried to have her husband Uriah go and be with her so that he would be able to say, well, the child that she has conceived, that's her husband's child. But Uriah, being a man of great integrity, wouldn't even go to his own house while the others were out there in the field, were out there in war, which is where David was actually supposed to be. But he had stayed in Jerusalem, and he had committed this awful sin. And you know what? We do. Human nature, I suppose, the nature of Adam, causes us to try to hide things and try to cover up things. And that's exactly what David did. And when he found out that that wouldn't work, he even stooped so low as to put a note in the hand of Uriah. You know, if you stop and think about it, how devious and despicable what David did really was, because he was obviously looking at Uriah and considering him to be a man of great integrity. He obviously felt like Uriah won't even look at this writing that I put in his hand, and it, you know, it was his death warrant. He put it in his own hand to send to Joab to have him put in the hottest part of the battle and have him killed. And you know, when they got rid of, when he got rid of Uriah, when he got word that Uriah actually had died in the battle, you know, I think it's very probable that David went, I did it. I've concealed this. I've hid this. But then God sent Nathan to him. Nathan went to him with that parable about the poor man's one little lamb. It when he told him the parable, it just made David so angry that he said that man ought to be put to death for what he had done. And Nathan said, well, David, it's you. You are the man. Listen, God knows all about us. God knew exactly what David had done. God is able to see our heart. God is able to see things that we may have hid from everybody. But God knows about us. He knows everything about us. Listen, today, if you're here and you're lost, God knows it. He knows it. He knows your heart. In the third chapter of Genesis, man had fallen. Man had sinned. We have the account there of man having disobeyed God, having partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil after having been commanded not to. Man had sinned. Adam and Eve were experiencing something that they never felt before. They were experiencing a guilt and a condemnation that they had never felt before. They had never experienced that up to that point. They never knew what that was until they sinned against God. And I know that when we are born into the world, we have a time when we are in a state of innocence in our infancy. But there comes a time when we are made to realize, many of you, I'm sure probably remember the very exact moment that that came upon you. But God makes us to realize that we're accountable unto Him. And when Adam and Eve realized that, when they realized suddenly there was something different, suddenly when they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they were afraid. They had not been afraid before, but they were afraid. And you know what the Bible says they did? They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. They took fig leaves and they sewed them together, trying to hide their own nakedness. What did the Bible tell us there in the Hebrew letter? That there's no creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. They tried to hide their own nakedness. They tried to cover up their sin. They tried to hide from God. And listen, the Bible tells us how that God called unto Adam. He called and he said, "Where are you, Adam? Where art thou, Adam?" And Adam said, "Well, I heard your voice and I was afraid. And so I hid myself because I was naked." And God said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Have you disobeyed me? Have you done that that I told you not to do?" And I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe about that. When God called to Adam and he said, "Where are you?" that he was asking him more than what his physical location was. I believe God was asking him, "Adam, where are you at spiritually now? What has happened to you? Do you really believe that God didn't know where Adam was hiding?" Sure he did. He knew that Adam was among the trees of the garden. God sees everything. We can't hide from him physically. We can't hide from him spiritually. I'm telling you something today, lost friend. You can hide in the Lord, but you can't hide from the Lord. He better be your hiding place. And you better take up sanctuary in him, because you cannot hide from the Lord. The Bible talks about in the 6th chapter of Revelation, in the last day, when the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair, when the moon no longer gives light, when the stars fall from heaven like a fig tree casting off its untimely figs. It talks about men praying to the rocks and to the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lord, to hide them because the great day of his wrath has come. And listen, just like the old song says, rocks and mountains won't hide you. Nothing will hide you from the Lord. You've got to find sanctuary in Jesus and hide yourself in him if you want to be safe, if you want to be eternally saved. And safe, it'll have to be in the sanctuary of the Lord Jesus Christ. No place to hide. It won't do you one bit of good. Listen, there are many people here today that could stand up and testify that they've tried this, but it won't do you any good to try to act like you're not lost. If God has made it known to you that you're lost and separated from him, you need to come to him. You need to come to him with an honest heart, and you need to seek him. You need to come to him as the sinner that you are and be honest before the Lord and seek him with an honest heart and repent of your sins and trust in the Lord and be saved, that you might be eternally saved. That's what you need to do. My mother, I believe I shared this here once. My mother told me one time that when she came to realize her lost condition, when the Lord made it known to her that she was lost, she said she would sit in church, and if someone began to come to her to talk to her about her soul, she said she'd get a songbook and she'd just start singing real loud, and they'd think, if she did that, they'd think, well, you know, she's not bothered. That didn't do any good. Nothing you do to try to hide your condition will be of any profit to you, because God knows. God knows. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows your heart. And he's the one that you've got to give account to. You don't have to answer to me. You don't have to answer to Fairview Memorial. You've got to answer to the Lord. You're going to stand before him. Listen, lost friend, make no mistake. You're going to go and stand before your Creator one day, and you're going to account to him for what you've done. If you're lost, you need to seek the Lord. If you're saved and you got sin in your life that you need to get rid of it. Because God knows all about it. He knows all about it. Brother Strode, if we could, or Brother Ernie, I'm sorry, if we could, let's have a song. Folks, this is serious. We're talking about your eternal well-being. We're not talking about something that deals just with time. We're talking about your eternal soul. You need to seek the Lord, and you need to get right with God while you have the opportunity. Let's stand and sing.
69.
And let's follow the Lord today.
69. Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him I could be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, blessed Savior, I surrender all.